You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Sydney, and today I'm here with a very special guest. We are here to welcome Xavier Moufraj, a dynamic professional with a strong background in strategic marketing and recognized for his operational leadership, talent development, and digital operational transformations. After over 2 years as CEO of YPO, he has a unique personal network of CEOs, investors, and influencers worldwide. Welcome, Xavier.
Hi, Sydney. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on the show. Okay, so let's get into it. The first question we have for you is, how did you get into marketing? What's your origin story? What was your first job?
Okay, so my original story about marketing is that my father was a marketing executive. Marketing executive for oil company, Exxon, Mobil, Total Oil, and then Eurotunnel. So, you know, when I even starting business and business school, I thought the only thing we were teaching was marketing. I have no idea we were teaching about business and commercial. So I always being in love with brands. I'm always being in love with retail. And that's how I started. I started for amazing brands at Kraft Foods.
Oh, wow. Kraft Foods. That's an awesome one. And was that your first job out of school?
Yeah, I was an intern and I starting at that time Kraft Foods, Mondelez now, starting to be an intern for Milka Chocolate. So a huge brand for chocolate in Europe. And then I moved to the premium chocolate brand Côte d'Or, which is, more adult brand for chocolates. So that was the beginning of my story. A lot of good moments to test these new chocolates.
Wow, that is so fun and a dream job for many, I'm sure. What trends are you seeing lately in marketing? Are you seeing anything new?
I think, which is really interesting, I see right now, and I think is going to accelerate it, is that my world of marketing, I'm 46, I'm not that old, but I spent like 7 years with Kraft Foods, you know, coffee brand, chocolate brand, the Maxwell House, all those brands. And it was all about consumer insights. You know, what is the need in the market? What the market wants? And we're all about branding and we're doing benefit ladder. You know, we're doing so many stuff about the customer. So it was a lot about creative brands. And sorry, that's my French accent for those who can't hear it. And which was interesting is that then my following years, when I was at Club Med, we're starting to have a lot of people coming from analytics. We're starting to talk about KPI, short term. And we're starting to have teams which are around, you know, the right brand and the left brands. And very challenging for us at that time, it was a CMO to manage these different teams. I think we're going to see a, a change right now with, you know, things like ChatGPT. That, you know, before in terms of development and coding, we have a lot of analytical people to be able to code and do all those stuff. But now the way we do prompt in ChatGPT, in all these search engines, I think we're going back to a marketing brain. So the brain of thinking, okay, who am I? What am I looking for? What is the style of communication I want? So I think there's going to be back for more and more creative people within marketing and people who need to think how a customer are thinking.
So you're seeing the emergence of ChatGPT as a good thing for marketing.
There's never, you know, the indoor things is only, it's never a good or a bad thing. But I think that on, I think we need to rethink the way we train people into marketing because this is going to be a major, major impact in everything we do. And I think that everybody who loves to write down content and think like a customer, they need to integrate ChatGPT every day in their lives.
Totally. Okay, which brands do you love to follow? Do you have any brands who you're interested in seeing what they're up to and you're a regular follower on their social media accounts?
So that's my favorite one, the one I worked on. So, you know, Club Med, which is famous in Canada, you know, the Milka brand, all the Mondelez brand. I'm also following Virgin because I always love the way they try to disrupt the market. And I think in marketing, we play most of the time very safe. I love when brands take some risks, which I think are interesting. Otherwise, I'm always eager about, you know, what is new. And it's not necessarily a big brand, but I love to see what the very small brands are doing because they don't have the marketing budgets. So they have to be better in the content and ideas. So I always try to find what is new, what is small, but is getting some attention.
I love that. And most of the times the brands with the smallest budgets have the greatest ideas, right? Because they have to.
They have no choice. They have no choice. And I always, you know, which is funny is that sometimes in the past when I was CMO, I was giving my team a budget, but I was cutting my budget by 20%. And I tell them, this is the budget. And they were like, do this and don't. And I say, okay. But if you, when it was done, I say, now if you have a great, great idea, I'm going to give you 10% more. And you can't imagine what they would come up with this 10% more. Because when you put the constraint of budgets, it's very interesting to see what they could come up with.
Totally. Okay, so where are you at right now with your brand? I know you recently made a move. We were chatting about before the episode started. Where were you and where are you now?
So I was a CEO for Club Med. Then I moved as a CEO of YPO. YPO is a brand of, you know, a network of entrepreneurs, 34,000 entrepreneurs. And CEO around the world. And I'm moving to SVN, which is you know, one of the top commercial real estate company in the world. So it's about, you know, 200 owners, 2000 brokers, advisors. So it's very big change for me as a brand, you know, moving from, you know, chocolate and coffee, then moving to Club Med. So, you know, hospitality dreams, and then to very, very Type A CEO network, and are going to you know, commercial real estate. But it's crazy how much you can use about all your past experience and bring them to the new one.
Wow! Congratulations on the new gig. How are you liking it so far? Are you finding it a total transition, as I'm sure it would be, or is it easier than you thought?
Oh, I'm on day two, so I'm super excited. I'm excited because these, you know, SVN has, you know, it's really a community of owners and entrepreneurs. And in a commercial real estate business, sometimes either you're either an employee or you're either by yourself. And these, you know, organization, make it's really a collaborative in between all these entrepreneurs who own their business. And how they can help each other as well. So I love the culture. I love the dedication for, you know, customer service, the collaborative mindset they have, and really making sure that, you know, they're not the big one worldwide, but they are the best one locally to get those deals done. So I think it's going to be exciting for me, not only as a CEO, but as a marketer, to bring that more exposure to them.
Amazing. Have you thought any, or have you thought at all about where you really want to take the brand? I know it's so new for you, but any ideas you can share right off the bat? 2 days in?
Yeah, 2 days in. I think that, in commercial real estate, everybody's communicating the same way. It's very traditional. And I think that the number one challenge for commercial real estate is to attract the new generation of brokers, for example, or owners. So I love the way that we can have a more modernized message about, you're an entrepreneur, but you're part of a team, because it's hard to be lonely at the top. I love this dedication to really find the right expert in the local market who's really going to find the best opportunity. And they're going to make everything possible for the customer, because they can't miss anyone. They're the one in charge. So I love that aspect for the brand. And we're first going to finish the national spread and coming to you, Canada, very quickly. There's already some locations, but I think international growth is going to be important for that organization, SVN.
Oh, that is huge. It sounds like you've got a big year ahead of you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, what's the biggest piece of advice that you would give to brands in general, no specific industry, just brands today?
I think is a few ones. I think the first thing is that, what are you the best? You need to be the best at something. So I remember we're in marketing at the beginning, we say, you're doing a lot of things. My customer, and there are so many customers, but really, who are your core customer? And when I say core customer, it's not only about the demographic, it's not only how much they earn. No, you need to be as much about the behavior as possible. I mean, I work for Kraft Foods, so that I think is one of the very, very best. I'm still using the training about the branding, but we'll spend like 6, 7, 8 sentences to describe our customer and who we're looking for. And you want to be the best at something. So you need to decide what you're going to be the best at something, and you're going to decide to say, on those, competition is going to be better. Because most of the brand, you don't have the money to have 5 things much better than competition. So what are the 3 ones that you're ready to invest no matter what to remain at the forefront? And what might be the 3 other ones that you may decide to say, you know what, if they're better on that, it's okay for us because we know where we put the money.
That's so fascinating, because I feel like a lot of business owners go into business thinking, okay, I need to be the best at XYZ, right? If I want to be better than all my competitors. But it's like, do you need to be better at every aspect, or do you just need to be the best at this one thing, right?
So the best person who explained that much better than I do, she's called Frances Fry. And she's a teacher at HBS. She worked for the best company, and she called it practical map, I think something. You can find her book, is Unconventional Services, I think. It's a green book, so I remember. And you do that map, attribute map, and it's super important. They say, what is important for your customer? And it's one axis, and the other axis is that, how do I score compared to competition in 0 to 10? The first 3 at the top, you need to be at 8, and your competition, you want them at 6. And then the rest, you're okay if you're below 5. The worst thing is to be just average. If you average at something, you're not going to survive.
That is super fascinating and a great piece of advice. Thank you. What about agencies? What advice would you provide to someone who is working at an agency or runs an agency?
Wow, that's a good one. I think it's going to go both ways, is that treat the brand as if it was you were part of the brand. Don't take it like I'm a supplier for the agency. You need to behave as if you were a team member of, your client team. And I would say the same thing for the client. I was on both sides, and my sister always been on the agency side. I always been on the commercial, on the brand side. And I could not believe what sometimes, some company asks the agencies to do. The last minute, can you do that, do this, do that? Because some of the time they just send back the pressure they receive from their own boss to the agency. And they're the agency who has to work night and days to get it done. And when you really treat your agency as if it was part of your team and you have it as a reflex, your agency is going to give you so, so much. So I would say on the agency side, try to not only answer the brief, but try to create the connection with this company as if you were team members, because that's going to make it more, that's going to be better for the long term. The second thing I would say is that in pitch, I have been so many pitch with brands. And when you have a pitch, the company arrive with 20 people. And they're the CEO, the VCEO, the super strategic person, blah, 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 and so on and so on and so on. And the only thing I tell myself, if they need so many people to do our business, that's going to be so expensive. And in the end, I don't want to pay for all these people. Who I want to hear with is who's going to be the person who's going to be there, weekly with me. And can that person taking care of my budget? And I remember I was at Kraft, I was at Club Med. Even I see that in YPO. I'm always amazed that people try to impress you by the number of people. Well, you just want to hear who's going to take care of yourself, of your team. And I think that in that case, that person needs to not be afraid to talk to their, to their client, and never try to go over directly to the boss of your client to get things done, which I've seen that so many times because that's very frustrating.
Totally. That was an amazing answer. Wow. You haven't worked in agencies. How familiar are you with agencies?
A little bit. I started as an agency. I worked for DDB. And a little bit for Young and Rubicam at the beginning, but each time they tell me, Xavier, you have to go on the other side. Because they like my ideas, but I love to see, look at the impact on the market share. Look at this, look at that.
You don't belong here.
We love you. We're going to love working with you because you understand what it is, but you're more the marketer guy. But I have a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous respect. Especially because the person in charge, the commercial person and an agency is so hard because you need to manage the creative team and then you need to manage the clients. And the clients come with stuff and you have to say to the client, yeah, I know it's last minute. I know. And it's very hard because we ask the creative to come with creative idea and try to have creative idea under pressure of timing. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? So I have tremendous respect for people in the agency because it's much harder than it was like 20 years ago. Because sometimes you feel like you're just like passing the man around. But I can tell you that I'm eager to listen to any of you because what I love is, a great creative ideas can make a huge difference for a brand. And sometimes you just need one great idea. And I know it's very hard to find them, but you need to respect that to find all these ideas, people need time. And time is pretty hard to get.
Especially today with just the ubiquity of being on all the time with our smartphones.
Yeah.
We need time, I think, for our brains to recharge and have time to come up with new ideas, right?
Yeah. And it's in some ways, that's the challenge for a CEO. Is that you have the feeling that people want you in meeting all the time and you're always giving a little bit of context and they say, and this is this and that, and that's a decision and blah, 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 blah. And sometimes you want to take, okay, let me think about it. And you ask questions and people say, no, we have no time. And we have no time. And you feel that sometimes we present you stuff. So you just say yes. But the beauty of a CEO is that it's because you've not been in a topic for a long time that you just go back to what the clients would say. And you don't want to hear all the reason, but you say, okay, what the clients would say. And does that really make sense on what we're doing? Or we over-complexify it? Like we've done so much work that in the end it makes sense intellectually, but when you just look at it, doesn't make sense. So it's another advice I heard from Kraft. And I heard, I got this very loud and clear. First, people put a very big idea and then they put the logo of the company so small that you can't see it. So this is a huge warning sign, because if we believe that the logo should not be big, that means that the logo might be replaced by your competitor logo. And if it's the case, you don't have the right creative. You have a great story, a great creative story, but it's not a story for your brand. So that's my number one advice. The second one is that how many people listen to the CEO feedback and say, oh, yeah, but he doesn't understand. And then they come back with the same creative, not listening to it. And that drives us insane, completely insane. But that's the beauty of the work. I can't remember how many times I was with my CEO at Kraft and he said, bigger the logo, bigger the logo. And I was like, oh, come on. Yeah, and now that I'm on the other side, I understand is that it's just a test. If a creative doesn't, you know, is not proud of the logo, that means that maybe it's a good brand, but it's a good creative, but not for the right brand.
Yeah. How do you deal with burnout as a CEO, feeling like everyone wants something from you all the time?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, statistics, COVID has impacted a lot of CEOs. So when I was part of YPO, it's like 90% of the CEOs said at one point they wouldn't say burnout because it's kind of difficult for them to say it, but it is exactly what it was. Complete depletion, don't know what's going on, what's come up with. So I think the question we might all tell ourselves, like, is like a hurricane. You're going to have a burnout in your career. Now, how do you identify it or try to avoid it and overcome it? Key element for burnout, I've got other books, but it's energy management. So energy management, sleep, nutrition, sport activities, meditation can be also another one. But the number one we always forget is social interaction. And when I say social interaction, means talking to a real person. You know what? You know, if you don't need 20 people, just two or three. But who are the people who are happy to listen to you, who are going to be always available for you, and you can have a quick drink with them and talk about everything? Social interaction is the number one issue with mental health challenges. And that's why, for example, people who live longer, most of the time, still have a very social life. And you know, even if the spouse died and so on, there's this little thing every day that keeps them, in a good situation. So, yeah, never forget that, you know, this social interaction is truly important. And that's why so many people suffer from mental health challenges during COVID, because we couldn't have these, you know, very easy, laid-back conversation with people we know care about us.
Yeah, I think that's so fascinating. And it's such a, just speaking from experience, I mean, when you are burnt out and you're feeling overworked, sometimes it feels like your battery's on all the time. You're always talking to people. So in your time out of work, you kind of just want to do nothing, right? Mm-hmm. But then when does that kind of become a little more isolating? And then you realize you're not getting the social interaction that fuels you outside of work, right?
Absolutely. Oh, and I've said a lot of things like have a meeting with yourself in your calendar. Don't protect the best moment where you're most performing for yourself. So, for example, my Monday morning, I need 2 hours Monday morning. And I just say, it's going to be Monday morning. Don't put me anything. I want to be more creative at 3 p.m. and or later. One-on-one with my team, going to be more in the afternoon. Being efficient, it's more in my morning. I try to have a rhythm in my calendar. So, I had an amazing executive assistant and she knows how is my rhythm. So maybe I'm going to have a meeting every week with a different person, but that's going to be the same kind of meeting I will have at that time during the week. So you build a rhythm. Do meetings of 45 minutes. So you have at least, is it as efficient as the 1 hour? The 1 hour, 45 minutes, you're going to get the same thing done. But when you finish your 45 minutes, you, after a meeting, you always have something to do because of the meeting. You do them in 10 minutes, and then you have 5 minutes. You go outside, see a tree. You need to see a tree every hour. It's good for your brain.
Touch grass.
And then touch grass. And then you come back. Because otherwise, if you move from one meeting to another, you still have the last meeting in your head. And then you finish the second one, you don't remember where the first one was, so you're not efficient at all. And that's what we used to have when in a physical office, because you were moving from one place to another. And when you do Zoom, you move from a meeting to another at a very high intensity. And if you think about, top athletes, they never do that. You know, you don't do a sprint and do another sprint. You know, you do a sprint, no. You stop, you recharge, and then you go another one.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What are your favorite apps? Do you have any apps that you use every day?
So my addictive one is LinkedIn. So I don't think it's good.
I'm a LinkedIn fan as well.
I look at news. I want to see what's in my market. Is there news? So I have news from which is the news, and then the news from the people I know. Now there's one, but it's more because I'm a dad. I'm 46. So we have an app called Team Snap. It's all the news about my daughter's softball team. So every time there's a thing, and because we're a group of dads supporting our girls, so we go to the training, and then when it's the end of the season, there's always something on, and so that's my special one. Otherwise, I use a lot New York Times for the news. What else? Oh, WhatsApp. That's it. I don't do much TikTok. I don't do much all those stuff. It's good. That would drive me insane. So I just took them out. LinkedIn is enough for my craziness.
It sounds like that's a healthy roster of apps.
Yeah. Is it, Sydney? How do I perform? I perform okay on this.
One, if you were saying like I don't get off Instagram or TikTok all day, right? That sounds different than the softball dad group.
Yeah, the softball dad group is good. It's good energy, right? But yeah, no, and I think it's super important that, and I try to get my phone out, switch off my phone, before daytime, nighttime, and I try to have my phone far away from my desk when I go to sleep.
Yeah, I heard that's very good. So that's a great habit. Okay, books. Do you have a favorite book that you tell everyone they should read?
So books. So I don't know if you see the image behind me. So favorite book for team, 5 Dysfunction of the Team. I never remember the author. So sorry about that. you're a manager, you're a leader, five dysfunction of the team. You don't need to read the book. You just go on Google, five dysfunction of the team. It's amazing, especially the first two bays. Then the second one I love, this is more personal, is called Happiness Advantage. Again, you can see a lot of things about it. In a nutshell, to tease you, Sydney, I would say that a lot of people think that they need to be highly successful in business to be happy. And the book tells you that if you're happy, you're going to be successful. And there's a lot of tips around that. And it's changed the way you see happiness. Instead of seeing it as a consequences of what you do, you see it's just something you need to think about. And there's a lot of tips around that. Then I've got a third one, which we just talked about, Uncommon Service, Francis Fry, for people working in hospitality, anything with customer. And there's last one, I think it's called Unconditional Hospitality. That's just, again, you don't need to read the books. Just go on the YouTube, look on these four books, and you know most of the stuff, and then maybe you'd like to read them.
Amazing. Okay, any life hacks for the audience? What's one thing you do every day or every week, a non-negotiable for Xavier?
Take time for lunch. I'm French, you know. Even if it's 15 minutes. So what I hate is that people say, oh, you have a business lunch. No. We got 15 minutes where we talk and then we do business. I'm fine with it. We can be in a room, but it's the concept, except, you know, if it's one-on-one. I talk to clients, it's very, very different. But the concept that because we have no time, somebody put a meeting from 12 to 1 and we do slides and so on, and you're supposed to eat a sandwich and so on, it's very bad. First, because your brain doesn't realize that you eat, so you're going to eat again. And then you don't win any time, because if you don't have that stop at 3 p.m., you're going to be exhausted. So just take 10, 15 minutes and just do it, and it's going to be good. And my hack is try to get my kids to school in the morning.
Amazing. Okay, so we have made it to the rapid fire round of questions.
Oh. I heard this is crazy, so I'm ready to be crazy.
So, as you know, I'm sure you've seen Family Feud. I'm just going to fire a question at you, and you can think about it for a second, but try to get your answer back to me as fast as you can. If you can't think of an answer for the life of you, pass.
Okay.
Pass. Okay.
No.
Okay. What was your first job ever?
I was working for, it's called Flammkuchen. So it's like a kind of pizza. For the joke is that at one point I have some ham dropping in one ice cream I was doing. So my manager came back and said, Xavier, are you in charge of the ice cream right now? I say, yep. And you can see I'm not very good with that. I did an Undercover Boss episode and you'll see that I'm not very good with alcohol as well at the bar. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, are you a night owl or an early bird?
Early bird.
Cat or dog person?
Dog. No, cat. Cat.
What was the first thing you ever marketed in your life?
If this is okay. Otherwise, no, I just go with my Milka craziness, this chocolate Milka and the purple cow.
What's your favorite word right now?
Opportunity.
That's a good one. Last charity you supported financially or with your time, and why?
It's not necessarily a charity, but there is the I'm working with Salesforce in because I'm in Dallas area. They support one school in their neighborhood. So every 6 months I'm talking and spend some time with this senior high schooler, and we talk about leadership, we talk about coaching, what they want to do. You know, I support other organizations, but that's the one I love spending time with.
Amazing. Okay. What's a movie you love?
I love one film is Cinema Paradiso. It's an Italian film. I cry every time I watch it.
Nothing better than a film that gets the tears every time. Yeah. Okay, favorite song right now or an album you've liked?
I'm a big Swiftie. Yeah, so anything she does. I mean, like even the last album, you know, I say, oh no, it's not at that level. And now I've been listening like crazy. So yeah, I think she's, we have time for rapid fire. What I love with her is the ability to go from one type of music to another one, but completely different. And as an entrepreneur, I love the fact that when she tried to get her rights back for a record and were ready to put a lot of money, somebody tried to say no to her. And she said, you know what? I'm going to re-record every piece of music I've done since I started. And I thought that was so bold. So I love that as well as an entrepreneur. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan as well. So great answer. If you weren't doing the job you're doing now, if you weren't in the industry, what other industry would you be in?
I would be a teacher. I think at one point I'm going to go back to that. I always wanted to be a teacher or a marketer.
You're halfway there.
Yeah.
Okay. App on your phone you can't live without.
WhatsApp.
Favorite children's book.
Favorite children's book. It's the author is called Barjavel. Sorry, it's in French. So I know, or maybe there's an English version. That's the first book I read in school. They gave it to me.
What's it about?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's I think it's, you know, I remember now. It's funny we talk about it. Is they discover like a UFO arrive, and this is woman inside of it, and she doesn't really talk, and she can't say anything, and it's his doctor trying to communicate with that person. I don't want to say more. Of course, they're going to fall in love. That's beautiful. But imagine it's the first chapter book I read. And I see this author is amazing, Barjavel. And then I heard it's his best book. So I tried to read every book of that author. And I realized it's not as good as the first one I had. But I can't remember the title of it. But Barjavel, I recommend that to anybody. If you want to give a first book for your kids, they're going to, I think I read it in two nights. Yeah.
Amazing. Best thing you ever bought for under $10.
Huh. Best thing I got for $10. Oh, I would say a cappuccino card.
My morning coffee.
Yeah, it's still under $10, right? We're still at $6 now, you know? In a few years, it's not going to be able to be my answer. But I still enjoy, whichever it is, a second cup, Starbucks. But what I prefer is going to my local place where people know my name and I can sit down, I take my time, and it's still $3.25. So.
Amazing. What's the most important thing you've ever changed your mind about?
Wow, this is very personal, this one. So we have to say right away, gay marriage.
Interesting.
I was in Europe, very traditional background where we're in Europe, and it was kind of thing, very, very progressive always in my life, but I always feel like, having kids. Gay marriage never have a question for me. And then I live in Miami, and I'm starting to have many more gay friends, and I'm starting to see the way they are, the way they behave, the way they were together. And it just changed in my mind right away, like few months later. I didn't tell myself, oh, I changed my mind. But, it's always the same thing. And I live in so many different countries. Don't judge what you don't know. So now I'm the most, open to, gays to and lesbians to have kids.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's a really good answer. Okay, what's a podcast that you would recommend others listen to?
It's Mastering. What is the name again? I'm coming.
Okay.
Finding Mastery, it's called. I just like it. Is from Michael Gervais. It's starting. Yeah, I pressed it, so now it started. So let me stop, Michael Gervais. So you have to find the right ones, but he used to help the coach of the Seahawks, the Seattle football team, and also a lot of Olympians. I just like it. It has great level of not only advice, but sharing experience from people, and is able to get great people. So that's my one. There's so many. So what I try is to just stick to one. And I know I'm missing so much about all the others, but if I try to have more than one, it's starting to be crazy as well. You know, it becomes addictive. And there's so much content right now on the internet. So just choose one. And I try to listen to at least one every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Any newsletters that you're subscribed to?
No, I stopped.
No, you didn't read them?
No, it's too much. It's just we overwhelm with content. So I look at my New York Times app in the morning. So I know what's going on in the world, then LinkedIn. And then I really try to stop myself reading too much content. Otherwise, I can spend my whole day doing it. And you realize that sometimes when you just stop doing, you don't miss anything. That's why when I stopped Twitter, when I stopped Facebook, when I didn't really start Instagram, I realized I didn't miss anything. But I have an extra 30 minutes in my day. And 30 minutes in my day, I prefer to be able to take my kids or finish early my work and go to the gym or have a quick run.
What skills do you think are required for a new economy? Like new job skills that are becoming increasingly important?
Soft skills. I'm 100% sure of it. We spend a lot of time on education for our kids that they know everything. With social media right now, I'm very surprised and not in a good way of the difficulties for the new generation to connect in person with other people. I mean, when I say connecting, is like we're talking about the kids I'm talking to in the school in our neighborhood. They're high schooler. And when I talk to them in public, the moment, you know, I learned that you talk to public, you look people in their eyes, right? And they're like avoiding my, and I say, I'm not a teacher, I'm just here to help. And I say, how did that happen? And I think that I can definitely tell you that every person is going to recruit new people in their company in the coming years. Okay, if you have great credential, it's good. But if you're able to just do an interview like a conversation and just talking about yourself like it's in a conversation, you're going to ace all these interviews. Because, you know, at one point when people are going to need to be in work, they need to be more independent and they need to know what to do. And you know, you have up and down. So people who have social skill who are able to show their resilience is going to go far, far, far away. And that's the issue maybe today in our parenting, is that we try to avoid that our kids are failing in any matter. Like every kid's got a medal at the end. Everybody has A or B's. And the challenge is that you need to fail a little bit as much as possible. So you learn that failing is not a failure. Failure is just learning. But every time you have an experience, what do you learn from it? What do you learn from it? What do you learn from it? And you move on. And I'm surprised by how many now students become employee, and they ask us, their level of autonomy is pretty strange sometimes. They're just waiting things to happen. And it's very hard for them to manage the first failures. On the opposite, and I work for 34,000 CEOs in my previous job, nearly all of them has to be resilient in a big way in their childhood and their life. Sometimes there was difficulties with their parents. Sometimes they were not in the right neighborhood. Sometimes it was whatever it was. So it's a big discussion we have in between CEOs, is that we want to protect our own kids, that they do not experience what some of us had in our childhood. But at the same time, if we do it too much, they're not going to be able to be in some way successful, because managing challenging situation, it's part of life. So anybody who, you know, people come from different background, people who move from one country to another, which was my case, people who have difficult challenges, I think they have a plus in some ways when they start, you know, their adult life. Because, you know, if they're in front of us, it's because in one way or another, they manage those tough situations. And you know what? They just stand up and keep up going.
Fantastic answer. Okay, Xavier, we are done. We did it. You did it. We've made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on and teaching us so much about your life, your experience, your thoughts and beliefs. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much. Pleasure was mine.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.